Jessica Kelly, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jono.
Now, we are here to talk about technology, and you have two things for me to play with. Where's the other one?
The other one is here. So I just thought last week was so successful with you almost breaking a phone that cost about 500 quid.
Yes.
I'd bring in even more expensive stuff for you to break.
This says, oh, hang on, it made a noise.
Okay, I'm going to talk. So this is what Jonathan is playing with is a Fujifilm Instax camera. So for those who don't know, Polaroid cameras are really back, and I don't just mean Polaroid, the brand. I mean cameras. Don't take a picture of me. Cameras that print photographs instantly. So this is Fujifilm's offering, and it is a gorgeous looking camera. So it's kind of big and plasticky, and it's very easy to use. Can you hear that little noise?
It sounds evil when it's printing.
You know, it does.
Ah, there you have it.
That's kind of the sound I make when you talk over me. So the idea with this camera is that you take an image, just as you did there, you press the print button, and within, I'd say, about 15 to 20 seconds, an image produces.
I'm doing something I haven't done since the 80s, which is shaking the Polaroid picture. I was never sure if this actually worked.
You're doing the Hey Ya thing, shaking like a Polaroid picture.
Shaking like a Polaroid picture. Yeah, it doesn't work, I don't think.
It does. You just need to be patient. So the idea is that the image...
Oh, yeah, it's coming out.
The image, when it comes out of the camera, is white, but you leave it for a few seconds and it bleeds through. It's that old technology. It's exactly like the Polaroid camera I remember my granddad Tony having years and years and years ago. The images are produced up. They're little square images. It's kind of like a physical Instagram.
Yes, and that's exactly what it
is.
And the pictures it produces are Instagram-esque just from looking at them.
Yes.
And it's not like the old Polaroid because it's a lot flatter.
Yes.
It's still quite heavy. There's a good bit of weight in it.
There is.
The one drawback about Polaroid picture cameras from the 1980s and 1990s was that the paper was prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
Have they gotten over that?
Not really. So let's talk about pricing for a second. So the camera itself costs around 300 quid. And then for 10 sheets of the paper, you're paying 20 euro.
20 euro for 10 photographs, 2 euros a photograph.
Yeah. Now, look, to be honest, there's a novelty factor here and it is great fun. And if you've got something like a birthday party or a christening or whatever it may be coming up over the summer, it's a nice thing to have because you have your little mementos. But I wanted to love this camera. I really, really wanted to love it because I'm a big fan of printing photographs and all the rest. But I was so disappointed with the quality of the image that is captured. I wasn't expecting, you know, something to arrive from my iPhone 7, but I wanted something a bit more. What I found is, and I think I've pinpointed the problem, the lens doesn't know how to pick up the light. So some photographs are kind of washed out and then other images are kind of, they're very saturated, overly saturated.
Yeah, and I think that the drawback for me when I'm playing with it here is that the screen, now it does have a little LED screen
on it. It does, so you can preview the image before
you
print
preview it. So that's obviously a step up on the Polaroid cameras
of old.
Absolutely,
yeah.
But my natural instinct when I see something like this now is to touch the screen because if you want to sort out that issue you have with light on an iPhone, for example, you touch the screen and it very cleverly resets it. This is not touchscreen.
It's not
touchscreen. You have to use this fumbly little dialy thing at the bottom here, which
you're moving the dial, to quote that sensational phrase.
Indeed,
used by
it's not very user friendly in that context.
It takes a little while to get used to. As I said, I've played around with it quite a bit. As I said, the image quality, I don't mind things not focusing in and being touchscreen. I can kind of forgive it that.
Oh, can it focus, by the way?
You can focus a little bit, but what I found, I was trying to photograph my 2-year-old niece over the weekend, and she moves faster than grease lightning. So trying to capture an image of her that wasn't blurred, it was a little bit of a struggle. And then, as I said, when I printed the images, some that were taken, I was outdoors in the gorgeous sunshine that we had over the weekend, so I was using natural light. It wasn't like I was in bad lighting or anything like that, but I just found that it was quite disappointing. And as I said, I wanted to love this, but I just unfortunately
wouldn't
pay the
money. Well, it costs 2 euros per picture. I'm going to show you the photograph I took you there. Is that a good use of 2 euros?
It's a great picture of the back of my hand,
isn't it? So we can post that afterwards on the other social media. Ironically, we'll have to take a photograph of that to put it up on social media.
Yes, we will.
Now, that is not, no, keep that.
Thanks very much.
Now, you've given me this laptop in front of us here now, which is, I like the look of this. So what's this?
So this is the Microsoft Surface laptop. You may be familiar with the brand Surface. We all obviously know Microsoft, but Surface is their range of computers that they're expanding out. Initially, the Surface was the tablet that replaces your laptop. So the idea is that it's got the build of a computer inside a tablet screen that then magnetically connects to a keyboard, meaning that it's very light and it's very durable and you can bring it with wherever you want to go. This is their laptop, the sister of the Surface. It's called Surface Laptop, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I sold my iMac. I got rid of my iMac my big Apple desktop in favour of using this machine, because I've just found the desktop, I know everyone knows this and I'm slow to the game, blah, 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 but desktop is just not practical anymore. If you're someone like me who wants a high-powered machine that doesn't cost the earth, moon, sun and stars, that can, you know, deal with all the heavy-duty stuff, whether that is editing, photo management, multitasking, you can get laptops that are very powerful and you don't have to spend more than 1,200-1,300 euro.
By the way, Jessica, we'll take your questions 53106 if you have a tech question this morning for our tech correspondent. So this is going to cost you about 1,200.
This is 1,200 for this machine. Now, the reason I kind of, because I would often say that, you know, you shouldn't ever pay more than kind of 600 quid for a laptop. That's more of a case if you're just using it for browsing or if you're using it for basic college work. If you're someone like me who kind of likes to run different programs, for example, I would use a lot of editing software, a lot of photo editing software, video editing software, all those different things, and I wasn't sure that I'd find a laptop that could kind of keep up with my pace that wasn't a MacBook Pro, and this ticks all of those boxes. So it's a 13.3 inch screen, so it's kind of around the same size as a MacBook Air. It's incredibly light, it's incredibly thin, and it has a really nice keyboard that I've been working away on, and I have to say it's just so comfortable to use.
What looks lovely about it, first of all, it's touchscreen.
Yes, it is.
I did get a little excited by that, because I still think that that's awesome that you can use a touchscreen on a laptop.
Yeah, it's like
this.
Minority Report, yeah.
It is very much like Minority Report, but you can touch it and it works and it's very effective, which means it'll be greasy fingers all the way from now on, but you can clean the screen occasionally like you do your iPad. But it seems very thin.
Yes.
Now, for someone like me, if I'm using a laptop, I'm like a man of many wires. I need to plug in my phone. Mm-hmm. The charger needs to be going into it.
You've identified the big problem.
I might
with
be
this.
Running an external sound card. I might decide to put in, if I'm using an external hard drive, I've got a little XD card that I want to put in. Doesn't seem to be many holes on this, Jessica.
Or we call them ports in the world of technology.
Well,
but yeah, there's
holes,
not many holes. There's only one USB 3 port, which was a little bit disappointing. There's also a mini mini display port cable port thing. You've muddled my... Oh my God, he
What's
nearly
that little
dropped
hole?
It.
Oh, no. I didn't nearly drop it. I almost dropped it.
That's the charging port, Johnson.
That's the charging port.
Yeah, so it's a different kind
of
charger.
It's a very long charging port, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Again, it's that annoying thing where if you have a few different laptops or tablets around the house,
it's another cable.
It's another cable you need to have.
And I'm conscious of the fact you're really nervous that I'm going to drop this. What's that hole for?
So that's the mini display port. So the idea is that you put that cable in, and this is what I've done in my apartment now. So I've put a cable into that and hooked it up to a monitor, so I can still hook it up to either my TV if I have a mini port to HDMI.
But even ridiculously old technology used to have a push button where you can push it to the screen. So why do you need a port for that?
What?
You know, when you can connect it, some technology you can push things onto the screen.
Screen, yeah, you can still do that. But if you just wanted a more secure connection.
Not,
I love how 1 minute you're like a granddad and the next you're like one of the Jetsons. You just go from one extreme to the other.
George Jetson, or his boy Elroy Jetson.
Yeah, that's
me.
Who it is.
But no, the shortage of USB ports. Now you're going to have to go off and invest in a thing that you can. It's like an extension cable of years of old.
Yeah.
You plug in and give yourself three or four USB ports. But that's the problem with newer tech, isn't it? That it's getting small. It's like the big tellies, right? TV's got really, really thin now. But the problem is when you put a really thin telly together, you've no room left for a speaker. So you go have to buy a sound bar. And that adds another 200 quid onto the price, and everybody gets really frustrated having to juggle all this technology.
It comes down to, like, you're going to have to compromise somewhere along the line. I would be willing to sacrifice the different ports for something as light as that, and I know it's expensive. I'm not saying that this is affordable, but in comparison to a MacBook Pro, it's more affordable. So I actually really like it. I'm really loving using Windows 10 as well. There's one point I want to make about this.
I like Windows 10. I was a relatively quick convert to Windows 10. It works.
It does work.
Which is a significant improvement on the previous ones that didn't work.
I got stung though, because I upgraded from Windows 8 to Windows 10 and it killed my device and I lost all of my information, which thankfully was backed up to the cloud. But I didn't have a great start with Windows 10, shall we say. But since I've been using this device, I really like it. As you said, it just works. It's very user friendly. But if you buy this device out of the box, it has a version of Windows 10 called 10S. And what that is, it's a more stripped back version of Windows 10. And again, it's aimed at those who want to keep the machine as zippy as possible, don't want to download loads of programs onto it. You're only able to download those that are available in the Windows App Store. Microsoft told me to give it a go, because initially I kind of looked at them a little bit skeptical and I was like, oh, I don't know if this would be too restrictive for me. They said, give it a go. Mm. Within about, I'd say, 4 hours, I had upgraded for free to the full version of Windows 10 because I just found it too restrictive. I couldn't put Chrome on it, for example, which is a big thing for me because I use everything in Gmail.
Why can't you put Chrome on it?
Because it's not available in the Windows App Store.
Ah.
You have to download it as a program. So anything like that that you download, I couldn't put my editing software on it, for example, until I upgraded. So basically the point is, it comes with Windows 10S out of the box. If you find that that's too restrictive for you, you can upgrade to the full version of Windows 10 for free up until December. Thereafter, there will be a slight fee to do
that. Okay, you see, this is where Microsoft will annoy me now, because if I went and bought a Hewlett Packard laptop or an Acer laptop or some other type of laptop, there wouldn't be that restriction.
It's not a restriction. It's literally just an option. So instead,
it's not an option. If they're going to charge you after feckin' September, it's not an option. It's
December, and they're not.
I don't have to listen to you all the time to get the dates right. You know,
you do. It's not a restriction. The idea is that sometimes if you buy a laptop and all you want to do is watch Netflix, send a few emails, and mess around on social media, your machine can be slowed down because it's got a full operating system that you're not fully availing of. Mm. So to kind of optimize the machine for you and to make sure that it's as fast as humanly possible, if you just want to do web-based things and things with apps that are available from the Windows Store, then 10S is ideal. If you're someone like me who wants a high-powered laptop to do different bits and pieces with different pieces of software, I need the full version of
this,
Windows.
And I'm not going to try and remove the screen
because
I'm presuming it's not one of the detachable ones. If you were to get one of the detachable ones, would that be a lot more expensive?
So there's a newer version that coming down the tracks. They are still quite expensive. The Surface devices are quite expensive, but they're very impressive machines. They're just incredible.
And the entry level version, so for somebody who doesn't want to do all this, all the hoots and nannies that you do.
So the most basic version, so you can get, it's a 7th generation Intel Core i5 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, which is plenty, a solid state drive that's 128 gigs. That'll set you back €1,169. That's the most basic version. And then you can kind of go up from there. You can either have 8 gigs of RAM or 16 gigs of RAM, depending on what you want to
do. It's lack of holes is my problem with it. It doesn't have enough holes. I need more holes in my computer.
Oh, that's a great review. We'll send that
straight to Microsoft.
Yeah, there you go, lads.
See, when you're dealing with the Jetsons, that's what you have to go with. So camera, we are saying no.
Yeah.
The Surface laptop,
I'm saying yes. I'm a huge fan.
And it's got a little marbly thing that feels kind of soft.
Yeah, the keyboard is kind of a funny material. I do like it though. And I'm one of these strange people that I kind of, you know the way that this really sleek keyboards that you can get that don't have a good press.
Yeah.
I love a good press.
A good hard press.
I love a good press on a keyboard.
None of that stuff now.
No, it's
a good old clatter and bang like that.
You do need a clatter and bang, and I just think it's more satisfactory. Also, the mouse has 5-point touch on it as well, so you can kind of zoom and click no matter where you are on the trackpad.
All right, okay, we like that. Jess and Jonathan, when you get a chance, don't forget cloud storage options, says a texter.
I am writing about that right now, and it'll be up on newstalk.com/technology before 12 o'clock, depending on how fast I type.
Okay, well, would you? Your new computer, you'll be typing away like mad. Jessica Kelly, thank you very much indeed. Look, I didn't break anything. You're proud of me.
Oh, I haven't left the studio yet. Yeah.